אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר לעם, בהקדמת ספר הזוהר, מאמר המצוות.
We're reading in the book of Zohar, in the introduction to the book of Zohar, the ninth commandment, item 233. You can ask questions at cub.tv and the selected questions will be aired live. The book of Zohar for all, introduction to the book of Zohar, article the ninth commandment, item 233. A commandment means the correction of the broken desires. To start with, a vessel was created, an image, as we say, a wicked person, which all emerged through the influence of the light over the desire, without any interference of anything, anyone, except for the upper force, that existence from existence, the light comes out of it, and existence from absence, a desire comes out of it, a vessel, a kli. And then out of the influence of the light over the kli, the vessel, a certain image was built, a form, that is common to the light and the vessel. That form is called Malchut of Ensof. And then that same Malchut of Ensof, because it comprises within it both the qualities of the light and the quality of the vessel, it starts reacting, responding to the way it exists, to the way it is, to the way that it discovers itself as a reality. And the first response is that it doesn't want to receive, the Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. Her second response is that she wants to put on a screen, Masach, and so on. Certainly all of those actions are mandatory, obligatory actions out of these forces that are in it, the kli and the light, the way that they collide. In it there is nothing which is, nothing that you cannot pre-plan, pre-program. It is all known in advance, it is all clear the way it happens, and you can even in advance maybe say, you know, what will happen, what might happen. Other than a special state called the shattering. The shattering is truly something unique, where a special deficiency, desire is revealed, a special pleasure that didn't exist before, because there the created being, when he truly wants to bestow to the Creator, he discovers pleasure which is so great that he didn't plan in advance, it wasn't revealed to him in advance, and therefore he starts receiving it in order to receive, and out of that the new vessels are born, which are called klipot, shells. And these vessels are far coarser, greater, very huge desires that now, following their revelation, their appearance, there is the work in that we have to correct them. What does it mean to correct them? To use them in order to reach that attitude towards the Creator that what appeared in the time of the shattering as the Creator's attitude towards the created beings. So to take the klipot, take these big desires, and what is felt in them from the host, how many pleasures does he give us, and how much love does he give us by that, to build the opposite form, to bring him such contentments in such a way, bring him love in such a way. These actions that the created being tries to perform back towards the Creator, those corrections are called commandments. How many, all in all? The created being is divided into many, many parts. He has 613 parts, even 620. If we count all of them, even the final ones. So apparently, we need to perform 613 commandments, 613 corrections. These corrections, as if comprise from the scattered parts, they build one single complete body. And that's in each and every degree. So, as we rise through the 125 degrees, five worlds, five patsufim, five sefirot, all of these, we need to, in each and every state, to correct ourselves in 613 mitzvot, commandments, 613 connections between us. That's really the process. Until we reach the great connection, the most intricate one, the most perfect one, which is called the end correction. But, all in all, we can divide up our corrections to directives, commandments, as if different sets. Let's say I'm correcting the digestive system, the blood system, the lymph system, and all kinds of other systems in the body. They're not detailing into the smallest elements. Rather, I treat them as systems. So therefore, it turns out that we have these groups of commandments, where each one of them I call it a commandment. So the Zohar here, all in all, divides it up for us. He divides all the corrections into, all in all, 13 commandments. And that way we correct ourselves by studying the way it is done. And we've reached in our reading to the ninth commandment, right? So please, go ahead. What is it?
Item 233. The ninth commandment is to pardon the poor and give them prey. It is written, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us make man in collaboration, for he consists of male and female. In our image means rich, after our likeness refers to the poor." 234. On the part of the male, they are rich. On the part of the female, they are poor. And as they are united, compassionate towards each other, giving to each other and doing good to one another, so should man be below. The rich and the poor united, giving to each other and doing good to one another. 235. Anyone who is willingly merciful towards the poor, his form never changes from the form of Adam Rishon. And since the form of Adam is inscribed in him, he governs all the people in the world through that form, as it is written, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be over all the animals of the earth." They all tremble and fear that form that was inscribed in him. Since this mitzvah to pardon the poor is better than all other mitzvot for elevating man in the form of Adam HaRishon. 236. How do we know that? From Nebuchadnezzar. Even though he dreamt that dream, as long as he was pardoning the poor, the dream did not come true for him. When he cast an evil eye, not pardoning the poor. It is written, while the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you." His form promptly changed and he stayed far from people. This is why it is written, "Let us make man." Here it writes, "making," and in Ruth it writes, "the name of the man with whom I made today is Boaz." As making means tzedakah, righteousness or charity. Here it means tzedakah as well. It explains the creation of male and female, rich and poor, but there is no hint that the rich should have mercy on the poor and sustain them. He says that this verse commands the pardon to pardon the poor. Indeed, there is great depth here, for this verse is different from all the previous verses, as in all of them you find the verse separately from the act. Thus, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament, and God made the firmament. And God said, let the water be gathered, and so it was. Also, you do not find in any of them that the doing is mingled with the saying. The reason why creation came out in Abba ve'Ima is that Abba says and Ima does. Abba gave to Ima, and after the abundance was inscribed in the boundaries in Ima, the abundance was activated. This is similar to potential and actual, since with Ima alone, no creation can be carried out because there is no boundary in her that depicts the actions in some form. Hence, there is a verse from Abba, which is the bestowal upon Ima. And since it is still in potential, there cannot be a phrasing of action in it, but a phrasing of let there be. However, in the verse about Adam's creation, it uses making in the verse itself. For it is written, and God said, let us make man. And there is another significant change here. Because it is written, let us make man, in plural form, and not, I will make man. The thing is that prior to the creation of the world of correction, there was the breaking of the vessels in Zat of the world of Nikudim. As we learn, he created worlds and destroyed them. Finally, he created this world and said, this one gives me pleasure. Yet, through the breaking of the vessels in the seven Sfirot, Chagat Nehim of Nikudim, the Kedusha mingled with the Klipot. Afterwards, the name Ma appeared and brought out four worlds Abiya on the path of correction. This is the meaning of, this one gives me joy, since it sorted the holy sparks from the Klipot, and to the extent of the Kedusha, the worlds and everything in them were created. This is what you find in every act of creation. Separation and sorting, such as, and God divided the light from the darkness, and let it divide waters from waters. Similarly are between water and land. The after its kind in the verse, let the land put forth grass, and between the governance of the day and the governance of the night, as well as the matter of the emergence of a living soul from the water and from the earth. All that points to sorting the Kedusha from the Klipot and the good from the bad. Anything that is sorted becomes an existing reality according to what befits it in Kedusha. This is why it was said that the whole act of creation is included in the first day in the verse, let there be light, since there was complete separation be there between the light and the darkness. Usually, Kedusha is called light, and Klipot are called darkness, as all the other titles of Kedusha and Klipot are but elements and branches of light and darkness. With respect to the distinction between light and darkness by which all the creations in Genesis are sorted, the correction is still incomplete. This is because in that respect, all the evil and the darkness remained as something needless. This is completely unlike the wholeness of the Creator, since the correction is not finalized, rather it is written, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and night is as bright as the day, darkness is as light. To correct that, man was created consisting of everything from absolute evil to absolute good. and through it, the end of correction will occur in the desirable perfection, turning evil into good, bitter into sweet. Darkness will be as light, death will be swallowed up forever, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Hence, the verse about the creation of man came out significantly different from the rest of the verses that relate to the rest of the creations in Genesis, since here the making mingled with the verse itself. This is so because this verse is from Ima, not from Abba. She said, "Let us make man," implying collaboration, since she partook with Malchut of Atzilut to create man. Malchut of Atzilut includes everything, as it is written, and his kingship rules over all. She provides for and gives sustenance to the evil forces too. Otherwise, the evil would have no power to exist, as it is written, and her legs go down to death.
Well, we need to understand, well, what is Malchut of Atzilut? There is a system that is built from above. This system includes within it all the worlds until the Parsa of Atzilut. And below Parsa of Atzilut, a structure appears which is called the lower nine of Atzilut. And those who cleave to the lower nine of Malchut can rise up above to sanctity, to the realm of bestowal of spirituality. Those who don't cleave to it remain in the worlds of Bia, of Tum'ah, impurity, which is also a degree. It is also a great degree. Those who even cannot reach that, they don't sort themselves out towards that, they're in the animalistic phase yet. They haven't yet reached anything. But the main thing is those lower nine of Malchut, which are down below the Parsa, that were given to us in order to cleave to them. Yes?
As it is written, and her legs go down to death. The Klipot receive a tiny candle from her, enough to sustain them. Also, Malchut is called Asiya, action, making, because she spreads and governs the whole of Asiya. She's also called darkness because she illuminates a tiny candle to sustain the darkness and the evil. When Ima herself is included in Malchut in a single bonding, action and darkness mingle in her herself. This is the meaning of, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." The light is called their image, and the darkness is called likeness. Once Ima partook in Malchut, the two forces, image and likeness, were made in her, and by them she created man consisting of the two forces, image and likeness, too. This is why she said, "In our image, after our likeness." Let us make man in bonding. The words "let us" indicate collaboration, inclusion of male and female. It indicates that Ima herself consists of male and female. Since although Ima is the male world, and there is no Nukva in her at all, she partook with the Malchut Nukva. In our image means rich, and after our likeness means poor. This is so because on the part of the male, they are rich, and on the part of the female, they are poor. As male is light and wealth, and Nukva is darkness and poverty. And since she said, "In our image, after our likeness," darkness and poverty are in her, herself, due to her participation with Malchut for the creation of man. Thus, man came out comprising rich and poor, light and darkness. By that, the entire correction will be completed by him, and Malchut will expand in her Kedusha over all the earth. And the Lord will be one, and his name one. Since then the darkness in Malchut will turn into complete light, like the male Havaya, and it will be He is one and his name one. Then the words, "There will be no poor among you," will come true. And as they are bonded, compassionate towards each other, giving to each other and doing good to one another, so should man be below, the rich and the poor in a single bond, given to each other and doing good to one another, as the image and the likeness included in Ima are in a single bond, because Ima is compassionate toward the likeness, Malchut, to correct all the darkness in her. Upper Ima diminished herself and gave of her share to the poor, Malchut, doing good to her. Similarly, man, who was created by her in image and likeness, should have mercy on the poor who are the likeness in him, bond with them, provide for them all that they need, and do good to them. By keeping this mitzvah, he will draw upon himself and the image and likeness of Ima, which are all the upper mochin that Adam Rishon was awarded when he was created with these image and likeness. Then, and let them rule over the fish of the sea. Anyone who is willingly merciful toward the poor, his form never changes from the form of Adam Rishon. And when the form of Adam is inscribed in him, he governs all the creations in the world through that form, as it is written, and let them rule over the fish of the sea.
Don't forget about the connection and the surrounding light.
This is so because through this mitzvah he was rewarded with those image and likeness of Adam, all those mochin and upper brightness of Atzilut with which Adam HaRishon was rewarded, by which he governed all the creations in the world. That is, there were still none of the powers of the evil powers that did not surrender to him. They all trembled and feared that form which was inscribed in him. They were all fearful and dreaded that image that was inscribed in him because he canceled all the forces of evil and darkness, and they had no resurrection before him, since the name of the Lord was called upon him, and this is the image of God. He brings an evidence from Nebuchadnezzar, who did not have any mitzvot, yet after he was sentenced in the dream and Daniel solved it, Daniel told him, "Unload your iniquity by your righteousness." And so he did. As long as he was merciful toward the poor, the sentence of the dream did not affect him. When he cast the evil eye of not pitying the poor, it was said while the word was in the king's mouth, his form promptly changed and drew far from the people. Thus, this mitzvah is greater than all the mitzvot in the Torah, for by itself it can revoke from a person all sorts of bad sentences to which he has been sentenced. It writes, making here. And as I made that with Boaz, it was tzedakah. Here, it is tzedakah as well. That is, the word make that was said regarding Adam's creation indicates the mitzvah of tzedakah, since Ima did tzedakah and with Malchut and was included in her. And it brings an evidence from Ruth, who said, "The name of the man with whom I made." This seems unexplained, for all she did with him was received from him. But with the explanation that making means bonding of rich and poor, the word making with Boaz is justified, for they both joined in a single bonding through the tzedakah.
Questions? Yes.
He writes here, the rich and the poor in a single bonding, they give to each other and be with each other. How can the poor give to the rich?
Vessels.
What vessels? He has nothing to give. He's poor.
Exactly. So, poor means property.
Poor in what? What does it mean to be poor?
Poor in feeling that he's poor, that he lacks. Let's say, you don't lack anything. Thanks God every day. So, what do you want to happen to you if you have no deficiency? Yeah? And let's say Nessie is sitting next to you. Look at him, poor guy. He is truly suffering all the time. He lacks. Look at him. Soon he's going to explode, burst. Out of his suffering. He suffers. He's complaining that I don't pay attention to him. He wants to ask something. I don't let him ask questions. And he's full of questions inside. And he feels himself as poor. So it says, be careful about the poor, because the Torah will come from them. Why? Because it has a great deficiency. In the end, he'll receive the correction and the fulfillment. Whereas you, well, thanks God every day, so you already have it. So, you know, where will the light come? What will it fill up? So you are rich. And we respect the poor. Yes?
Starts when we talk about the ninth commandment. He says the ninth commandment is to pardon the poor and give them prayer. So
what it means is to sort out within himself the vessels that are in deficiency, desires, thoughts that I cannot correct, I cannot fulfill in the light of bestowal, in the attitude of bestowal, the light of love, that I have to do something with them. They are the ones that evoke me, that push me, that constantly pressure me. First of all, I have to respect those vessels. They don't let me rest. So I'm happy. There's this commandment to make the poor happy. I'm happy that such vessels appear in me. The Torah only speaks about the internality of a man. It's not, you know, bleeding hearts, go out, search for the poor, make them happy. How can you make them poor? You're going to play some serenade for him? What are you going to do for him? What does he need? Why does it say to rejoice the poor? To bring about that these vessels will receive correction and fulfillment. Yes? According to what I understand, what you now say, the poor has to do with the participation, the blessing that he receives. As it says, I've seen an upside-down world. That's nice, that's true. So why should he be poor? He's rich. But he's not rich, he's poor. That's true. So what's happening here? What's happening here is fine. Now you see that you've changed your mind a little bit.
What is that ninth mitzvah for the poor? I don't understand. It says ninth mitzvah. What does that mean?
A commandment is a correction. So pardoning the poor means that you have to make the poor in you, the empty vessels in you, bring them correction and fulfillment.
How? How do you do that?
First of all, to come to the fact that we'll be poor, that we'll be empty, the vessels that we would desire to, in them, do bestow upon the Creator. And once we are awakened accordingly, then there are corrections. This is specifically the ninth commandment. Because all the commandments are like that, because you can't make corrections when you don't feel lack. It all starts from poverty. More.
Scott from England and Moshe from Los Angeles are asking, during the Zohar, should we bring the deficiency and the sorrow of the public to let the light shine on them for the general public? Or do we think about the connection with the friends to get forces to go out and bring the unity to the general public?
Both. The Zohar is the time when we can activate the thoughts, intentions, request when we study tasks. Nevertheless, we learn it also intellectually. We can learn about the system, how it's. We attribute to that also scrutiny, intellectual scrutiny, whereby with the Zohar, it is precisely the state and the place where Here we can elevate all our requests for connection, for corrections. It is the most beneficial for that. Yes?
Andrei from Peter is asking, why does it say that this is the most important commandment, and in a different place it says that the fear is the most important?
The mitzvah of Yirah, the fear, is not the most important, is the foundation of all the mitzvot. And working with the poor is the most important one, because if you don't feel yourself that you're lacking, yeah, then you have nothing to start with, if you don't see yourself poor. Is that clear? Now the question is as follows. If I'm engaged here with the poor, and they're in fear, and they're engaged in a few others, and decorating the bride, or no matter what, yeah, like as they're talking, then we need to take into account that I'm not taking this on desire and I'm performing a correction in it. Rather, on each desire, I have all the corrections in a gradual fashion that I need to perform. Gradually. It's not. This desire required the correction of the poor. This desire required the correction of the chuppah. This desire requires the correction of yirah. No. Rather, it speaks of the sum total of actions that each and every desire must process itself, yeah, go under some processing of correction by it, be processed through all of them.
John from Chicago is asking, what are the 9 bottom sefirot of the Malchut, and what does it mean to cling on to them?
Law 9 of Malchut is a structure that is in the klipot, the shells, in the desire to receive, that revives us, that gives us the ability to connect to sanctity in order to bestow, whereby these low 9 have taken upon themselves the descent and the restriction in such form whereby we can cleave onto them even though we are in the dirtiest form. It is called the mom would come and wipe her son. And we can come up with all our horrible, impure thoughts and desires to Atzilut by the law 9 of Malchut that intentionally are being there. But do not think it is the Malchut itself that is there with her law 9 down below. Rather, intentionally, as she is doing it out of herself, another form like that she presents, because this is how the imayla, the upper ima, is doing, just as a woman with respect to a baby, right? As she's willing to receive from him all that his body extracts for his own benefit, so that he will grow properly. This is also during the time of conception or pregnancy and suckling and mochin. In all those states, she's caring for him. Yes.
What I never understood, I always saw this and didn't understand this. Oh, the Creator is creating worlds and destroying them. So what are you creating if you're destroying it later on? If you're whole, why do you break it?
For you to have the future form, the corrected form, and the broken form in order to come up to the corrected form. Well, just as you are, you've never given your son, haven't you ever given him something broken for him to collect it, to put it together? I didn't have much patience and didn't quite like it, maybe. But I had a friend who used to put together boats and sheep. No, not a puzzle. He bought these parts. The little minute, little, it's like a, half a match, quarter of a match, like that, little ones. And you used to put together these models, you know, of airplanes and all these big planes, etc. It's real art. It's very much developing the child when he's looking like that, how to do it and this and that. So what are you doing it for? What for? Tell me. What's the benefit? That out of this putting together, you start understanding why that should be here and that's there. You're not just looking at the drawing. You're also starting to understand that that supports that and that needs to be together with that. And that explained to me what's going on here, why that needs to be here, etc. It's kind of by that you attain he who have made it. From your actions, we know you. By what do you know a man? Only by his external expression. When you learn his behavior by that, all his forms externally, accordingly you determine his perception of him.
I'm missing this point. He claims that whoever hears us, that when he created the worlds, what does it mean that he created worlds?
He created worlds.
What is five worlds?
Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Boya, Yetzirah, and Asiya.
What does that mean? What is it? Those worlds, what is it?
It is kind of desires that were all in order to bestow, as the Creator is, and he destroyed them, meaning he brought them to a state whereby they are all in order, not all, but part of them, in order to receive the words of Bia remaining in order to receive. What did he do it for? In order to build systems, one versus the other. Bia of purity and purity, and you that are between them, you have free choice in what is it that you want to belong to. This is, look, our problem and our perception is that our mind isn't made of two opposite elements. It isn't structured like that. And you are missing out the spiritual dimension. There are many little creatures, like cockroaches, they don't feel that there's a creator. In the field, they're getting along. They remember everything. They know everything. This is what they need, right? The height. They don't feel the height. In our world, there's another dimension other than this three-dimensional. There's another dimension, but you don't feel it. You don't perceive it. You can't take it into account. All of a sudden, it become revealed to you in one of the stages of life or incarnations. The connection to that extra dimension is revealed to you, but you don't understand where is it, how it's affect me, how affect it. I feel that there is that another element entered my life, but what to do with it and where is it exactly, I can't perceive. This is what you're telling me. And constantly you come with a claim. Where is it? Why is it? I understand you. But the wisdom of Kabbalah help you discovering this extra element, that there's another axis here, an element that determines all your life. This element, when you discover it, just like the physicists are saying nowadays, right? The modern physicists, that you are shifting to a new dimension. And in that new dimension is the space, the void. It takes upon different qualities. It as if become not flat as we see it or round. Rather, it is in a totally different form. Time doesn't work as with us. It could be back and forth or timeless or infinite time. Actions are, it's all back to front and straight, and you need to gradually, you're given opportunity, yeah? If not, you have other opportunities. You'll die, and you'll come back, say. I'm talking in a not very accurate manner, but easy to understand. You're given Everyone must discover that additional dimension and take it into account, and by that reach a totally different form to what we are currently. You live in an area that is three-dimensional. You need to exit it and shift into a different zone. There it's eternal time. Distances and actions are totally different. There's no. Our terms of time, movement, and space don't exist. They all disappear, all take upon a different form. But our mind, our heart, don't perceive that distance, that space, that dimension. They don't perceive it. It's not in a geometric form there of height and width. And it is totally, totally new for us, and we don't feel it. It is here, it presents here. However, we don't feel it because we have no approach or contact with it. So you are taught how to draw a light, say a certain force from that dimension that will build in you, right in you, yeah? New senses, new approach or perception, everything new, whereby then you, within that new vessel, would be able to sense the same dimension, and your body will die, and you'll remain with the same vessel. Yes.
What you're telling me, of like from the beginning of the lesson with Owen, I'm looking at the side and I'm saying, really, all this Kabbalah is for Supermans.
For whom?
Superman. That, because look, first of all, it sounds like he writes here, he created the worlds and broke them, and he said that it gives me enjoyment. So what you're saying is that if I look from the side, so I have to be here now, something that has nothing to do with this world, something like in the movies, above all my human powers.
Correct.
Yeah, but it sounds impossible.
Correct, it is impossible.
So it's really bringing me to despair, because I don't know if I'll get there.
Well, you think you can do it? No. Well done. That's already a great achievement or attainment. You already understand that it's not I and my mighty power will do that shift. Rather, I'll come from above, and I only need to cause me being ready to receive that treatment from above, right? Hence, it is called the work of the Creator, and not Isaac's work, or Tzvika, no matter what. Well, that it's your work. No way. What we need is only to cause a connection, because that upper force work on he who intend to connect. Intend, not he who can. And he's constantly in the struggle and constantly helpless and due to a lack of connection and understand that he can't and understand that he doesn't want, but he's in that inclination towards it and suffer from being incapable of connecting, and accordingly this power operates upon him. He wants you to suffer from not having his form. Simple as that. What's the problem? He will do everything for you if you'd like to be like him. To be like him meaning being connected with others. Well,
We learn that there has to be Arvut between us. We're building Arvut between us. Where is the Arvut of the Creator to me? How do I know that I'm going to go through the path?
What are you talking about? Who are you?
Why not? How do I know that I'm going to succeed? Maybe I'm going to fail.
Well, you are given you're given a spark. According to that spark, you need to advance. If you want to develop it, here is a free choice. Meaning free choice is which you are brought to some place and you are told, do you want to develop quickly, correctly and comfortably? Do this and that. If you don't want to develop quickly, correctly and comfortably, it doesn't matter, we'll help you. Will help you, right? They put a king as a man upon you that nevertheless you will say, I want. That's all. Well,
meaning everything you promised me. Now is,
I promise you troubles and problems and great sufferings. Rather, there are torments of love and there are torments of like idle torments or suffering. The torments of suffering of love when I'm longing for something that I like and I go towards it and I enjoy this suffering because they are sweet. I love someone and soon I'll meet with him. And will feel good. And there are sufferings where I'm suffering from like a fool sitting with his arms crossed and it is on flesh and suffering from that. So I'm looking at you and I already know who am I looking at. Yes. Look at Amnon's son. That's talking to the point.
I don't know, maybe it's strange, but this whole process seems the opposite to me. It seems like pleasure, according to what I had before this. So, I don't know, I come to the group, everybody's good friends, everybody's, at least I feel, in real unity. Obviously, we have a sense and the sense, but sometimes I don't feel like going. But compared to the pain and agony I had before I came to the group, there's nothing to even, it's simple. So the question is this even right? The thought that...
Why not? The purpose of creation is to enjoy.
But I see that almost everybody here is suffering, so why am I enjoying it, even though I have disconnections and a sense in the sense? And jealousy, the great friends, I have a lot of occurrences like that. But if I think of the previous jealousy compared to this jealousy, the one that builds, the ones that I can exit myself and can finally run away from this filth I was in, this ego that was grabbing onto me and didn't give me rest, I don't know. I feel it's the greatest pleasure that can be. And I don't even care what's going to be. I mean, what could be worse than what I had till today? So the question is that even a right thought or direction? Maybe I'm just fooling myself, but that's what I feel.
Correct. Correct. Take him and teach him a bit. I'm just afraid that he will corrupt you. You're right, 100%. We need to enjoy. To enjoy along the whole path, in everything we connected, whom we connected to the upper force. We truly need to and to give everyone that sensation that, how shall I put it, that urge, that security, a joy, a connection. Now we are in a very special state, right? Whereby we are entering a state of caring for the big public. We enter all kind of places, jails and schools, all kind of places, the different crowds, different businesses, and are active among people. If we want to advance ourselves quickly on a quick and good path, we need to be united from within. And maximum of our unification, we should pour out and advance them to, in a way that is comfortable for them. And then by that, if you are succeeding, if you intend to succeed in that, you will not feel anything bad. You will feel even further. You will feel the following, that this is the group. And I'm within it. And here is the outer crowd, right? Upon it, nations of the world. And the group is called Israel. So, if as much as we are uniting within, and we can, then we can go out and bestow correctly and connect them to us in circles. Further circle, etc. Connect until the whole structure is complete. The correction of the world. The moment I don't unite sufficiently within, in connection, in love, from them, right from them, come to us problems and troubles, pressures, true pressures, right? All kind of enemies are coming upon us and really turning my life really bitter. The moment I unite correctly and also working outwardly correctly, there's no point in the enemies, there's no reason for them to arise. By that, I'm neutralizing them. Nowadays, we're in a state that it is like it's very sensitive. The more you are united, the more you are hugging within in mutual love in order to come to bring contentment upon the Creator. Here, the inner point for us is the revelation of the Creator. By that, you're neutralizing all these bad external forms, because they come only in order to hasten you. It's coming, all these disturbances, from the same Creator. Hence here, you already begin to feel to what extent the external actions and inner actions and inner connection in the hug of the friends and going out to the broad public, how much here and there you are in a work or in negligence, and accordingly you see how the Creator treats you through all these puppets on the outside. It's really, it begins to be a mutual or reciprocal work that is very, very tangible. Here, you begin to feel how everything depends upon you, although it all depends to Him. And here, you are connecting together with Him, specifically in that work. So now we already have an opportunity to enter that thing. Yes.
I wanted to say that because me and my father, we have to... in the new building, I see it, we're actually going to put together the breathing system. Another hour from now, this huge crane is going to come. And
all the chillers are coming today?
Yeah, every chiller is 150 tons of chilling and pumps, and cranes are coming up, and together with the cranes and the group from Beersheba and with this group,
Zvike will help you lifting the 50 tons, 150 yeah.
tons. 150
tons
of pumps, and I just see it as really a system of breathing that'll bring water towards the chillers, and it'll bring us air of sanctity in the building.
You see what a person does?
So we know we have the server room that's working, so now we have air too, and hands and the legs. And
just check it out, yeah? To put a building together, they're responsible, the father and son, for the air condition for the whole building. To put together a building, how many systems do you need? Even just walls, you know, just something extra here, something extra there. And the systems are thousands hundreds of kilometers of wires and pipes and what have you. And What does a person need in order to, all in all, exist? Look what systems. And if we talk of the soul, not the body, then there's nothing to be impressed by the fact that we are like that. Well, good luck in the work. We are with you. Good luck, really. Good luck. I'll come and visit later. Also, we need to remind that with us, our friends from Ashkelon, Nahariya, Beersheva, and Moshevot and the young group, all in all, 28 people are working there in the building, and now coming further people in order to participate in the constructing the chilling system, and we're moving to the next part of the lesson.
And before that, we will sing a song together.
Let us spread this light. Shemati, Shemati, we must all unite.
The world is changing, it's changing fast. Economy is crashing. We can't figure out, we don't ask why. Nature is talking. Speaks to us, but we don't hear a word. It's a global connection. Its next blow will be much worse. Let's reveal the message. Shamati, Shamati, love will light the way. Shamati, Shamati, I heard a wise man say. Shamati, Shamati, let us spread this light. Shamati, Shamati, we must all unite. Chasing pleasures all our lives. What is the purpose? No satisfaction on to the next. You tell me, is it worth it? What we long is to be loved, because we're all connected. So let us join our hearts as one. We'll never feel rejected. Shamati, love will light the way. Shamati, Shamati, I heard a wise man say. Shamati, Shamati, let us spread this light. Shamati, Shamati, let us all unite. La la. Shamati, love will light the way. Shamati, Shamati, I heard a wise man say. Shamati, Shamati, let us spread this light. Shamati, Shamati,